KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
Support comes from Save Home Heat Company, providing professional heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical services to Denver Boulder area homeowners for over 40 years. More information can be found at savehomeheat.com.
Support comes from the Boulder Library Foundation and Boulder Public Library, providing a community forum to talk about race as part of Boulder Public Library's One Book, One Boulder series, featuring Ijeoma Aluo discussing her book, So You Want to Talk About Race, on Thursday, November 5th at 7 p.m. BoulderLibrary.org.
Good evening. It's 1 minute past 7 p.m. here in Boulder, Colorado. I'm DJ Number 7, welcoming you to tonight's Opera Box here on KGNU, your community radio station for the Front Range. Rather than sampling operatic works piecemeal, on the first and fifth Mondays of each month, we listen to an opera in its entirety. Tonight's opera is the third and final part of Leonard Bernstein's Candide. And if you missed part one, you can hear it again anytime from the KGNU show archives at afterfm.com. Just searched for the Opera Box show of September 7th, 2020 for the first part and October 5th, 2020 for the second part. Or you can look up me, DJ Number 7, and you'll see all of the shows that I've hosted here on KGNU. I'll also have some special treats for you tonight following the conclusion of Candide. But before we get to that, let me bring you up to speed, especially those listeners who are joining us for the first time tonight. This opera is unsurprisingly based on the novel Candide or The Optimist, which was written by Voltaire in the mid-18th century. Voltaire found the popular philosophy of optimism rather distasteful. Optimism held that this was the best of all possible worlds under the care of a benevolent God. The pervasive devastation at the time from constant wars, poverty, and natural disasters seemed to Voltaire more a product of chance and the behaviors of church, the nobility, and governments. In 1759, after a year of work, Voltaire published his novel secretly in five countries simultaneously. Its humor, wit, and satire, and insight made for an instant hit, and the book was immediately and widely banned as blasphemous, seditious, and hostile to the ruling classes of the day, which, of course, made it even more popular. In 1952, the American playwright Lillian Hellman was compelled to testify in front of the House Un-American Activities Committee, where she denied ever having joined the Communist Party and refused to testify as to the actions of her colleagues. The FBI, as a result, increased its surveillance of her travel and mail, and the State Department fired John Melby, a Foreign Service officer who was Hellman's friend and occasional romantic companion. Such experiences were among the factors that motivated Hellman and Leonard Bernstein to write an operetta based on Voltaire's novel a few years later. The operetta, Candide, was not an initial success. After many revisions, some of which were quite drastic by others, Bernstein created his own final and revised version in 1988, 2 years before his death, in which he reshaped and restored much of the original libretto from Hellman. We've been listening to a recording of a live performance at the Barbican Center on December 13, 1989, conducted by Bernstein himself, and during which he interjects his own observations about Voltaire, the development of the operetta, and about the storyline. He speaks with a particularly gravelly voice because he has been suffering through a very bad case of the flu, which, during the winter of 1989 and 1990, was particularly severe. In the UK, 60% of the population became infected, and intensive care beds were in very short supply, leading to the deaths of 26,000 people. Sound familiar? As we rejoin this performance, Candide has already endured many misadventures. Born out of wedlock, he was raised in the Duke's household and taught by Professor Pangloss about the delights of optimism. Candide fell in love as a young man with the Duke's daughter, Cunegonde, but he was exiled from the dukedom as he was a man of unsuitable character for marriage. He was forced into military service by an invading army that slaughtered the Duke's household. Many more misadventures followed his journeys through Paris, Lisbon, Buenos Aires, Montevideo, and Suriname. The professor and Cunegonde are miraculously resurrected several times, only to be enslaved, forced into prostitution, tried for heresy, and eventually killed again and again. Candide suffers with them, narrowly escaping death himself each time. Now, as we rejoin the operetta, Candide is about to leave Suriname for Venice aboard a ship that he has purchased for the voyage, his belief and optimism somewhat tattered.
Predictably, the ship sinks. Martin is drowned, clinging onto his Panglossian faith as tightly as he clings to his last golden sheep. Candide boards a passing galley and meets no less than 5 new characters, all deposed kings, one of whom can say only ugh. The 6th galley slave, chained to his oar, is, incredibly, Pangloss. The kings have learned their lesson. If ever they reach terra firma again, they will pursue the simple life, humbly serving God and man. They debate this with Pangloss, following the proper parliamentary procedures.
I do hereby make a motion in hopes of your approval that after a removal from this most unpleasant ocean, we all say farewell to vanity and strife, and in some dale or in some dell pursue the simple life. What a royal, royal notion! I second Charles's motion. I thank you, noble Prussian.
Let us open the discussion.
Your heart,
Charles Edward's one appeals to me, but good of hope and riches. Let's wash our hands of luxury in irrigation ditches. I'm sick of plot and counterplot. They never fail to thicken. Let's find a humble rustic spot and cultivate the chicken.
Ah, what pregnant observations!
I thank you for your patience.
Right of order, Mr. Chairman.
The floor is yours, King Herman.
Your kings live so unpleasantly, our lives are hard and lonely. Let's form a happy pleasantly for former monarchs only.
I'll trade my kingdom for a hoe, my scepter for ein Schuffel, and make the red, red roses grow along the happy home.
What a very sweet suggestion. I hereby move the question.
I second Charles's move, sir.
Say aye if you approve, sir.
Your love.
And what do you know? The galley does arrive in Venice. It's carnival time, and the casino is going full speed. Everyone is masked. At the first sight of a gambling den, all five kings scamper off to the simple life of baccarat and roulette. Candide, clutching all his wealth, his one remaining golden sheep, goes ashore to search for Cunegonde.
Maximilian, miraculously restored to life, don't ask me how, is now prefect of police, corrupt and running the joint. Paquette is the reigning prostitute. Cunegonde and the old lady, ill disguised as customers, are employed to encourage the gamblers. The old lady just occasionally pressing levers under the table to control the roulette wheel.
I have always been wily and clever at deceiving and swindling and such, and I feel just as clever as ever, but I seem to be losing my touch. Oh, I'm losing my touch. Yes, I'm clever, but where does it get me? My employer gets all of my take. All I get is my daily spaghetti, while he gorges on truffles and cake. What's the use? What's the use? There's no profit in cheating, it's all to be wrong. Oh, so wrong that I just have to pass it on.
That old hag is no use in this cheap joint. Not a sou have I made on her yet. And the one thing but pays in this cheap joint is my fraudulent game of roulette. Is my game of roulette. But I have to pay so much protection to the chief of police and his men, that each day when he makes his collection, I'm a poor man all over again.
What's the use? What's the use of this honest and devil?
So clever, so wrong, oh, so wrong.
I just have to pass it on.
It's a very fine thing to be prefect, taking down all the gamblers in town. My position has only one defect, that there's someone who's shaking me down. Who is shaking me down? For this fellow unhappily knows me, and he's on to the game that I play, and he threatens to shame and expose me if I do not incessantly pay.
What's the use? What's the use of this sneaky conniving and sly conniving? It's wrong, oh so wrong, if you just have to pass it on.
I could live very well by extortion, but I simply can't keep what I earn, for I haven't a sense of proportion, and roulette is my only concern. Is my only concern.
it's fiendishly clever, which I learned from a croupier friend, and I should go on winning forever, but I do seem to lose in the end.
What's the use
of this cheating and plotting and end up with nothing?
It's wrong. Oh, so wrong.
Then
if you just have to pass it
reader, gentle listener, gentle viewer, be not dismayed, the end is in sight. After a thousand Voltairean twists, the inevitable catastrophe approaches. Everyone is masked. Candide has entered this gambling hell to rescue his ideal, his innocent love. He's in for a terrible shock. Pangloss, at a nearby table, is celebrating a big win before squandering it on the ladies of the night. Cunegonde and the old lady approach Candide masked. The spirit of carnival is in the air. Anything can happen.
Rien ne va plus. Le 13.
Banco!
I've got trumpets, as I've said. Mother is dying, father's dead. All my uncles are in jail.
It's a very moving tale.
Though our name, I say again, is quite the proudest name in Venice. Our afflictions are so many, and we haven't got the penny.
Madam, I am desolate at your family's tragic state. Any help that I can give, please do tell me where they live. I shall look them up tomorrow and alleviate their sorrow with a check made out to bearer. In the meantime, buona sera.
We've got troubles, as she said. Mother's dying, father's dead. All our uncles are in jail.
It's a very moving tale.
Oh, you know the name is in your hands. Why, you know this name is in your hands. Our uncles are in jail. It is a very moving tale.
Millions of rubles and lira and francs. Broke the bank, broke the bank, broke the best of all possible banks. Pieces of gold to the ladies I throw. Easy come, easy go. Shining gold to the ladies I throw. See them on their knees before me. If they love me, can you blame them? Little wonder they adore me. Watch them woo me as I name
them. A lady frilly, lady silly, pretty lady willy nilly, lady lightly, lady brightly, charming lady fly by nightly. My lady fortune found me, what a joy to have around me, lovely lady six or seven, this is my idea of heaven. Fortune keep the wheels a spinning, spinning, they adore me while I'm winning. Lady frilly, lady silly, pretty lady willy nilly, lady lightly, lady brightly, charming lady fly by nightly. Fools love only one or two. Ladies, I love all of you. Lady frilly, lady silly, pretty lady willy nilly, lightly lady brightly, charming lady fly by nightly. My lady fortune found me, what a joy to have her.
It's a very pretty
day. Fortune keep the wheels spinning, spinning. They adore me when I'm winning. Lady frilly, lady silly, pretty lady, willy nilly,
it's a very moving tale.
Sacred trust I treasured, nothing more than this. All of my hope and pleasure, no more than this. The love I dream and cried for, nothing more than this. All that I killed and died for, no more than this. That smile, that face, that halo around it, that youth, that charm, that grace, behold, I have found it. Nothing more than this, no more than this. What did you dream, angel face with flaxen hair, soul as dead as face was fair? Did you ever care? Yes, you cared for what these purses hold. You cared for gold. You cared for gold. Take it for my kiss, my bitter kiss. Since it was this you wanted, no more than this.
Thank you.
many days after, Candide did not speak. They had just enough money among them to buy a small farm outside Venice. Cunegonde's nagging got worse and worse, and the old lady's temper was as bad as Cunegonde's. Cacambo cursed his lot. Pangloss pined for a German university. Paquette pursued her chosen vocation, but no longer earned any money. From time to time, says Voltaire, they saw impaled on spikes above the city gates the heads of unsuccessful politicians. And still, Candide did not speak.
Cunegonde, we are not what we were, nor do we wish to be. What we wanted, we will not have. The way we have loved, we will not love again. We love now for what we are.
We are not what we were, nor do we wish to be. The way we have loved, we will not love again. We love now for what we are.
Marry me, Cunegonde.
Thank you.
Any questions? May I bother you with one more word? This is not professorial at all. I just want you to know that almost everyone on this stage that you've heard tonight has been subjected to the royal flu. We have been decimated in our ranks, chorally, orchestrally. They've come back. Every one of our principals has suffered something. Our Cunegonda was, well, we almost lost it this weekend. Our unbelievable creature. I want you to know that Jerry Hadley arrived here for the first rehearsal, having just come out of a flu bed. It was not the British responsibility. But he has never missed a rehearsal. And everyone has a similar story to tell, so I'm not the only one with a ruined throat. You've been marvelous tonight. Thank you so much. You've got a wonderful audience.
All the performers survived the flu pandemic of 1989, and in the following year, they recorded Candide at Abbey Road Studio. You've been listening to The Opera Box with me, DJ Number 7, here on KGNU, your community radio station, broadcasting on 88.5 FM and 1390 AM in Boulder and Denver, on 93.7 FM in Nederland, 98.7 FM in Fort Collins, 99.1 FM in Englewood, and streaming live on the internet at kgnu.org and afterfm.com. I'll be back in a moment with more Bernstein operatic treats.
This program is made possible by you, the KGNU listener members, and by WOW Children's Museum. More information can be found at wowchildrensmuseum.org.
Thinking about turning your garage into something more? Like maybe a game room or a home gym? Make room for your dreams by getting rid of the biggest obstacle in your way, that unwanted vehicle. We'll have it picked up at no cost to you and use the proceeds to support KGNU. Call 1-844-KGNU-CAR or learn more at kgnu.org.
Welcome back to the Opera Box here on KGNU, where the time is 7:36. I'm DJ Number 7, and you're listening to KGNU's Monday Evening Classical Music Lineup. At the top of the hour, Iris Berkeley joins me to host the show A Classic Monday, bringing you 2 hours of traditional and modern recordings. After that, at 10 p.m., Ann Cantillo takes over the microphone with Present Edge, featuring contemporary, avant-garde, and experimental classical music. Now, in our remaining time together on the Opera Box, I'd like to introduce you to some of Bernstein's other opera compositions. He wrote two other operas, one of them, Trouble in Tahiti, a rather dark and sad story about a suburban couple of the 1950s and a strained marriage, was not very successful initially. And like Candide, it was reworked a number of times and occasionally is performed as a period piece. We'll set that one aside. Bernstein made one more attempt at opera in a collaboration with Alan J. Lerner, having been commissioned to create a work for the Bicentennial of the United States in 1976. That opera, titled 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, traces the history of the White House through the eyes of four characters, the President and the First Lady, and a male and female black servant working at the White House. Four singers inhabit the roles of the various presidents, first ladies, and servants throughout the decades. Trial performances in the year before America's bicentennial celebrations did not go very well. Bernstein rewrote and replaced so much of the music that, in the eyes of some of his colleagues, he produced two operas' worth of material. The opera eventually opened on Broadway, and lasted through just 7 performances. Critics attributed the failure mostly due to Lerner's staging and kind of clunky storyline about race relations. Bernstein abandoned the operatic form thereafter. After Bernstein's death, the music editor of the Bernstein estate, Charlie Hammond, and Sid Raymond, the original orchestrator of the show, decided to rescue the music into a shorter work titled A White House Cantata. I want to share with you some samples illustrating the wide range of musical styles Bernstein wove into the show. In 1997, the London Symphony Orchestra, which we just heard performing Candide, made a recording, again at Abbey Road Studio, which is what we'll be listening to. Let's start with the President Jefferson Sunday Luncheon March. President Jefferson was the 2nd president to inhabit the White House, and this piece honors the tradition of open public access to the White House at the time.
And I've made my share of culinary innovations too. I brought waffles home from Holland, and they're going like hotcakes everywhere.
Waffles,
hotcakes. I brought ice cream back from Paris, meringue glacé et chocolatique
there.
Légère, and from Rouen, I brought home qualche cosa deliciosa, called spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Favorite of all is the savory I like to call Brown Betty.
Brown Betty!
So let's add a bit of cheer to the Sabbath atmosphere. And if God at times gets sick of chimes, he might be pleased to hear
the President Jefferson march, the President Jefferson luncheon march,
the President Jefferson luncheon party march.
That was the President Jefferson Sunday Luncheon March. And now let's march forward to the Buchanan administration just before the outbreak of the Civil War. Here's We Must Have a Ball, commemorating the president's ineffective efforts to avoid a war.
Secession, discords, disruption.
dissension, division, then Dred Scott decision, and threats that the Union will fall. There's but one thing to be done, we must have a ball. Those endless petitions for guns and munitions are driving me straight up the wall. One would think, though we're on the brink, we must have a ball. A royal soiree, resplendent and gay, and lo, all of our dilemmas will vanish away. We'll let it go on, till early dawn. By then every little slave in the South may be gone, behaving like cultured and civilized men. Can make every mountain Davis, there's nothing can save us. We'll soon be divided like gone. Pooh, I say, I don't see why we can't have a ball. It's not fair, just because bugles are starting to blare, and the cry of secession is filling the air.
The next piece is entitled Duet for One. It's a fascinating piece musically, as one singer portrays both Julia Grant, the outgoing First Lady, and Lucy Hayes, the incoming First Lady, during the inauguration of Rutherford B. Hayes of the Republican Party in 1877. The election of 1876 was the most contentious of all presidential elections to date. 82% of eligible Americans voted, the highest turnout in history. Hayes's Democratic opponent, Samuel Tilden, undisputedly received an outright majority of the popular vote, yet did not have enough Electoral College votes to win. That was the second time in U.S. history that occurred. The voting results were disputed in four states: Florida, Louisiana, South Carolina, and Oregon. With claims of fraud and threats of violence against Republican voters, many of whom were black. South Carolina was a particularly obvious fraud. More votes were tallied there than there were eligible voters. The disputed Electoral College results were sent to the House of Representatives, and on January 29, 1877, the House formed a special commission to settle the result. In the end, the Democratic Party gave up its claims to 20 disputed electoral votes in exchange for a guarantee by the Republicans to end the period of Reconstruction in the South. Rutherford Hayes was inaugurated in March, the normal date of inauguration at the time. And, as an interesting local note, Colorado had just become a state in August of 1876, a few months before the election. There wasn't enough time or money to organize a presidential election here in Colorado, so the state legislature chose three electors who voted for Hayes. That was the last time any members of the Electoral College have been chosen by a state legislature. And now, here's Duet for One, sung by June Anderson.
Until once again I have little of blank Junior Grant. What an anticlimax life will be for Ulysses and me.
I do solemnly swear.
A few dozen seconds are all that remain, and I will no longer be ordinary plain Lucy Hayes. What a blaze of glory life will be.
I will faithfully execute.
Now they'll cheer Lucy Hayes, that dear Lucy Hayes. They'll worship her matchless cucumber skin, her fingers like ancient bamboo. They'll dote on her lips so enchantingly thin that it's hard to believe there are two.
That I will faithfully execute.
Demode Junior Grant, posse Junior Grant. Charm has become so sublime. I'm told they are planning to travel a while. Say great to us, dear, great time.
The office of the President of the United States.
The gall of her husband, that treacherous soul, taken the oath of the office he stole.
The office of the President of the United States.
Thank God for our Bible, that glorious book. Everything else Grant and Julia took.
And to the best of my ability,
Our last selection from the White House Cantata is The Grand Old Party, which pokes a bit of fun at the influence of money in politics.
Why does They call it the grand old party.
They call it the grand old party because there's ladies present.
The grand old party is going to have a grand old party now.
Penitentiary door.
So 25% of the door. Here's the world to go from. The grand old party, running the
generous touch. We love the country and the people and such.
You gotta love them when the stars are lost. Here's the world to go from.
Musica Mundi is Latin for Music of the World. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m., this international show spans the globe in musical styles. From obscure field recordings to new recordings of traditional styles, you'll hear music from around the world that you won't hear anywhere else. That's Musica Mundi, Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. on KGNU.
Support comes from KGNU listener members and Ska Street Brew Stillery, a farm-to-table style restaurant featuring 30 handcrafted ska brewing beers on tap and a one-of-a-kind mixology program from Peach Street Distillers, located at 1638 Street in Boulder, Colorado, and open daily for food, beverages, happy hours, and more. More information at skastreet.com.
And you're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. The time is 8:01, which means our classical lineup continues with A Classic Monday.
Thank you.
Thank you.